I wanted to start, before we get into all the national craziness, with the fact that the New Mexico, there's my phone because I'm reading this off my phone, so that's why it's done. But the New Mexico legislature is having a special session starting today. And the governor has put an awful lot on the call. She originally said that she would do it to combat the cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill, which
yes.
is now formerly known as the Big Beautiful Bill. Now they would prefer that we call it H.R. 1. So until they figure out the brand. Trump hasn't figured out the branding on that, but he knows the Big Beautiful Bill isn't selling. So anyway, here's what they are going on. Here is what is on the governor's call for the special session starting today.
Mm-hmm.
Rural health care delivery fund expansion. Top of the list, we all knew that's...
Yes, essential.
Clearly in the crosshairs of the federal government and needing immediate attention. Health insurance exchange eligibility. I believe this refers to the work requirements and how the state is going to address that. So obviously, once again, something necessary
yes.
has to be done right now. Vaccine standards. Okay, I mean, I get that one. Maybe the legislature has to act on that. I mean, I understand why they're doing it, because Robert F. Kennedy has done exactly what he said he was going to do in yeah. terms of the CDC and our nation's health. And so I understand why the state's wanting to act, but okay, now you're starting to load it up. A federal budget cut response, that's pretty vague, but again, something that's needed. They want to approve a region for Western New Mexico University. Well, okay. Assuming there's nothing controversial, that shouldn't be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's where we get into it.
Okay.
Amending competency procedures. So once again, she's diving into public safety and, you know, wanting to get... And to be clear, I agree with her. But she is jamming too much, in my opinion, into a special session. So
now, how long will the specialist session take?
Well, that's the point, is there is no limit.
Ah.
And they hate them. Because
yeah.
if you are a legislator, you know you're making a commitment for 30 days and 60 days. But they a lot of them have jobs.
Yes.
I mean, too many of them don't. We've had that.
We've had that discussion.
The ones that do are losing money. And they
yeah.
work, and so they understandably have an incentive to get out of there as quickly as they can.
Yes.
So, okay. So, behavioral health, legal proceedings, appropriation for contingency fund. I don't know exactly what that is. Regulation and licensing department funding. Okay, if they're just giving interstate medical. Oh, and here's the difficult part for me. So
okay.
I'm complaining about all of this. This one I want. You know, Interstate Medical Licensing Compact.
Yes.
I mean, I want that. And so in my ideal world, we would do all those necessary things and then throw the one thing I want in there. But I'm just saying. And then the last one is what they always do. You have to appropriate the expenses
yes.
to cover the session.
Yeah.
So, you know, by throwing the competency, we'll see.
I would hope that they'll deal with the easier ones first.
Right, right.
And rather
right.
than, because you can maybe not get to any of them, it gets bogged down.
And to, like I said, the frustrating thing, this is this seventh special session that she's called. And it's just too many. I mean,
yeah.
But the way the system is set up is
yep,
too few.
You're right. You can't get everything
right,
done in a
right.
month or six
so
weeks.
I understand her frustration, but at some point in time, I understand that you go to the legislature every day. They are basking in tradition and culture.
Yes.
And history. And every day. I appreciate that. I understand that. That doesn't mean you have to cling to these old antiquated rules
yes.
that were written for an agrarian society where
yeah.
people were getting there on horseback.
Yes.
And this is the one I always point to, is we still have a law on the books that says every bill has to be read out loud three times before it can be passed. That's why they always call it third reading when they get to the final passage. And they always start with this little speech. I ask consent that the record be that the rules be suspended and the record reflect that we did this the way they told us to do it, even though we're not. So they start every bill by saying, ask for consent that we break the rules and then lie about it.
rather than just change the rule.
Yeah. I know.
Because that was at a time when probably some legislators were marginally literate and had to have it be read.
So anyway, I don't want that's coming up. It's starting today.
So that's starting today.
We will be following that.
Whoa, that is a really busy. Well, we live in interesting times, as we've said before. And of course, what I've been really following is the stuff this last week has been incredible. And it all ties into, I think, our speakers coming later. I just want to reiterate that state and local elections matter as much as the national. In fact, in many cases, historically, they've mattered more. Turnout matters, and I think that'll become very clear as I hit the highlights of the past week. Of course, we start now with the government shutdown starting last night at midnight. Trump says he plans to use the shutdown to pare down federal services even more, to fire more people.
And he will, yes, probably
starting today. Probably,
I think Democrats have picked a fight they can't win.
But I think Democrats had to do that because the main issue here, they're
like
unified
it.
In a way they weren't. Six months ago.
But that's not my problem. That's their problem.
Yes.
Me, Joe Q Public, that's not my problem.
Yes, but
if getting unified and finally getting a backbone and picking this particular fight hurts me.
But this particular fight has to do with health care.
I get it.
This is like where the rubber meets the road. I mean, this is really arguable because so much of health. Well,
you don't. This will be our fourth shutdown. All of the previous ones were done when Democrats had control and they were forced by Republicans, using the same argument. This is the only time we ever have any leverage. If we don't do this, if we don't fight now, yada, 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 they all ended the same way. This one will end, too. Just to be clear, the Republicans are asking for a clean, continuing resolution for 70 days. So they're saying, and they are making this point, over and over and over again, that we're not having, they're loading the bill with all the things they want. We're not asking for anything. They are the one causing this shutdown in order to get these things that they want.
Well, because their bill is already loaded with everything they want.
I understand that, but
But
we are where we are. I am too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not going to succeed.
Well,
picked the wrong tactics.
Yeah.
And here's the bigger point, the more important point.
Okay.
Every other shutdown was done under a president that respected and wanted to maintain the federal government.
You're right, and this is not.
Well, I take that back. The we had shutdowns under Donald Trump, so
yes,
I take that back.
Yes, that's right. We had one in 19.
But he was at least pretending at that time.
Yes, and he had some checks in his administration.
Right, he didn't want to be responsible. If now he totally wants to be responsible. Now that's his jam. And if you don't think he's going to take advantage of
it. No, I think he will take advantage
of it. So what do you gain? That's my point. If he does all of those things, and in 30 days the Democrats fold, or 40 days, or however many days it is, all of you've done is cause more pain and damage for people.
Well, I think that's already kind of going on. For example, I've been looking at the Justice Department, which is one of my, as you know, one of my main areas of research, and it's just been a scary number of people in the Justice Department like a third already of the top senior career prosecutors have left or been fired.
Right.
There have been 76% of the Civil Rights Division has been stripped. Divisions in immigration and environmental cases, they've been hit hard.
Right.
So
that's my point.
People are leaving in droves already.
I
think that this is, most Americans are blind to it. Most Americans don't see that.
Oh, I agree with that.
And then you come up to
which
court.
Which is why I'm saying that
which
this
is why he was able to get
work.
Away with it.
Right. And why this shutdown.
And why people don't blame him.
Well, that's changing. But he doesn't care.
Oh, he doesn't care.
And you know, you talked about the justice. I take solace in his rambling, crazy, horrible speech at the military. I take solace in that.
Yeah.
I take solace in his intending to send Pam Bondi a direct message and instead putting that out on Truth Social where he says, Pam, go arrest these three people. I mean, he is so bad at this. He is so ham-handed. He is so, and everybody talks about he's going to be the next,
Mussolini.
Viktor Orban.
Orban, yeah.
No,
he doesn't have that.
First of all, we're not hungry. You know, we're, and second of all, he's not good at this.
No.
How he built a following, I will never know. I will go to my grave not understanding how he survived the Access Hollywood tape. Why does he get this pass and everybody else in the history of politics before him and undoubtedly after him? That would have been the end.
That would have been the end of the
political career. Why is Donald Trump the golden boy who gets that pass?
Yep.
I will never understand that.
No, I won't either. But I think I do think this the Affordable Care Act, the subsidies that end at the end of this year for the Affordable Care Act are a line in the sand for me. And that's really what the Democrats in Congress are rallying around.
I understand that. I just think you have to pick a fight you can win.
Well, sometimes these are symbolic. They're never going to win with this administration, with this Congress that caves, with the GOP in Congress. They're not going to win anyway.
I don't make
the fight painless. Don't make the fight where people don't notice it.
Okay. I mean,
that
just seems so feckless. That reminds me of the Democrats in Texas running off and leaving the state.
Yeah.
To what end?
Well, we'll see. Like the 26th midterm election, if that has made a difference.
That's my point. That's where you pick your fight. You don't shut down the government.
Well, you have to have.
This
has really stunned the Republicans. The Republicans in Congress were not expecting this. I will say that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Mike Johnson certainly sounded stunned by it. I think that they've been expecting the Democrats because the Democrats are the ones that make sure government runs. It's the party of good government.
That's
the
point.
I know.
We're the ones who care. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not saying we. They're the ones who care about that stuff. And the hypocrisy is just dripping.
I don't think it's hypocrisy.
Of course it is. They're already doing it. All of the clips from the last three shutdowns where the Democrats are going on and on and on and on about who's going to be hurt. And of course, the hypocrisy is there for the world to see, and it's on both sides, and I get it. But all I'm saying is at the end of however long they want to hold this out, and they've already lost three, Republicans aren't losing anybody. Republicans don't mind this.
Yes.
Republicans will endure whatever pain this causes. And
we'll
be fine with it.
We will see. I don't think it's hypocrisy. I think it's principle. Anyway,
I understand that. But when you play one clip after another, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Then you've already mentioned the military convocation, which many of us were astonished that the national security threat, bringing that many of our top-ranking military in one place at one time, well-announced, everybody knows.
Right.
Hegeth scolded the nation's top generals, including the security threats posed by facial hair, overweight officers, and diverse hiring and promotion. This from a man who he served as, a corporal or something years ago. At no time did he address any of the incredible changes and challenges that are facing the military in the 21st century. It has nothing to do with being...
No. It's all about bro culture.
It's all about bro culture and how you look versus what you know between your ears.
And how you sound and how you swagger.
That's right. How you swagger. Yourself. That's right.
That's right.
And so and then we had Trump's two-hour diatribe on fighting the enemy within, meaning the Democrats and...
Right.
And doing military training in American streets. And, of course, that brings to mind Portland.
Right.
Another playbook similar to Chicago. And this is just really getting way out of hand.
Well, yes and no. I mean, once again, I take heart in how clumsy it was, how awkward it was, how horrible it was.
But do you think people watching it who are Trump believers were swayed? Had their eyes opened? Were they enlightened by that? How terrible that presentation was?
Yes, he was slow. He was meandering. Anybody who watched it, now if all you watch are the clips on Fox News, maybe not. But yes, any fair-minded, reasonable person who watched it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yes, there's. It was like I don't care how much you love Joe Biden, watching him at that debate.
Oh, no, that was painful.
Yeah, and this was the same thing. And not quite on that level, but almost.
Well,
and
I do.
So out of care, and the part that I love the most is having a room filled with people and getting no reaction, not
stony-faced.
One single applause, not one nothing, not a
not
laugh
until
at
the very
joke.
End. They did the polite
the
applause.
The polite applause at the end that drove him crazy. That's why he kept rambling.
Yeah, he was looking
he
to. He was trying
know
to raise
what to
a,
do with that. How do I win these guys over? He just doesn't get it.
Yeah, and I think that part, I think, was the most powerful, is to seeing them sit there, arms crossed, listening.
Right.
Politely, right. But not enamored in any way, showing no emotion.
Right. But of course, the clip that, you know, gets played everywhere is the one you said, but you know, we're going to practice on American City.
Yeah.
And this comes after he apparently told the mayor of Portland that he was seeing clips from the George Floyd that were being played by Fox News, and he thought that was current?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
So if you're asking me, his most ardent loyal, his 5% will follow him wherever. But the people who voted for him because they didn't like Kamala.
I sure hope so.
And I'll tell you a story.
Okay, tell me a story.
I don't want to say who it is, but a very much younger friend who is, by all appearances and everything else, a progressive, open-minded, liberal-type person, told me, yeah, I voted for Trump. I just didn't like Kamala. So we
are out there.
We are living in this stuff every day. And every time he says something crazy, the offendometer goes up. And, oh, we're this much closer to the end of democracy and all of that. There's a huge part of the country who just isn't paying any attention to any of this stuff.
Would they have sat through the whole speech, though?
No.
So they wouldn't necessarily be paying attention.
They aren't.
So maybe they need to have Democrats actually hold firm to health care costs for the walkout and the shutdown.
You think that will make them pay attention?
I think that'll make them pay attention.
No, it won't.
Now, it may backfire, but it will make them aware that there's something going on here. They got to pay attention.
That's my point. They're not aware. They're not paying attention, and they're not going to start because of this.
Well, I have to hope that people are starting something there. Oof. Anyway, for a few more minutes, I'd like to go on about some of the other things, like the James Comey indictment. This is, I know I've used the word unprecedented before, but this is really, this is perverse. You never, a sitting president calling out an individual citizen by name and demanding his Justice Department investigate and indict them. That is, I mean, that's going to be grounds for Comey's defense. But in
of
the but in the meantime, this is horrific. Any one of us could be subject to this. That's what that means.
I keep getting to the same point. If he had done this, if he had done it secretly and not had leaks, then I'd be worried.
But you think it was done so clumsily? Well,
He puts out a DM.
He puts out a hit list.
Well, no. He sends what he intended to be a private message to his attorney general, and he puts that out for the whole world to see. He Pete Hegseth this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are all so desperate for attention.
And so incompetent.
That's
I'm hoping the incompetence cuts, you know.
And to just play this out, what he did was more than that. He put his own hand-picked attorney in there who took a look at the, a competent Siebert, I think was his name. His hand-picked guy, conservative, but fair, but a process of the Department of Justice who took a look at this and said the evidence isn't there.
And fired him.
He fired him. In his place, he hires a former beauty pageant contestant from Colorado who was an insurance lawyer.
Yes.
Who's never been a prosecutor in her entire life. She goes to the grand jury with three charges. She gets the top charge thrown out. She does get the other charges through.
Squeakers.
And for people, you know, who aren't, a lot of people know, the grand jury system, the defense isn't there.
That's right. It's all the prosecutor.
It is all the prosecutor. And the standard is not beyond a reasonable doubt. The standard is probability.
Yes.
Is it a probability that this happened? And so given those favorite, you know, the old thing, you can indict a hand sandwich.
Yeah.
She was able to get two indictments through But Comey is being defended. Comey himself,
yes,
is one of the sharpest, best trial, yes, attorneys of our age. And he's being defended by another man with equal credentials.
Yes.
They are going up against the former beauty queen.
Now, I'm not worried about him being effectively being convicted or anything. But anytime you have an investigation, even if they're not an indictment, there's a real cost.
Oh, I know.
To the individual in terms of money, there time, of reputation.
In this case, I think he loves it.
Talking
about
for
James
him,
Comey.
But
he's
isn't there a
the
chilling effect
he needs,
on the rest
and
of
he
us?
He loves this.
Because one of the things we're also seeing is this Trump's administration has lost a lot of its efforts to get indictments. They've been thrown out. So one of the things that we've now seen is that they're grand jury venue shopping, which is incredible.
Right.
There is one case where they switched from the federal grand jury to a local grand jury. They got an indictment, and yesterday or Monday it was thrown out. A D.C. magistrate judge preemptively refused to accept the indictment. What we're seeing here is with Trump's legal team, with all the people that have left, you've got increasing numbers of political hacks in very important positions. They don't have professionals there to advise them. They don't have any institutional memory. They don't know any of this. And they're not even arguing on merits or facts or case law. They're just doing it they're playing the rules is what they're doing.
Right.
They're playing around with rules.
And you've got Kash Patel leading the FBI, who Kash Patel and Dan Bongino both.
Yeah.
Their credentials is they were, media agitators.
Yes. And that's what they are.
Yep. And so Kash Patel, we have the incident with Charlie Kirk.
Yes, yes.
And every other FBI director in the history of FBI directors probably wouldn't have gone there, first of all. Leave it to the field officers. But if you do go there, you certainly don't say anything.
Yes.
But no, Kash Patel goes out there and says, "We got our guy. We caught him."
Yeah.
And then when he gets called out on that, he says, "Well, I'm just trying to be transparent." No, you're trying. You fall.
You're muddying the waters.
No. He's in love with the TV camera.
Yeah.
He wants to be on Fox News. You want more airtime on Fox News and One American Network. You're not trying to be. You're trying to make yourself bigger and more important.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to do.
So we got a call.
Listener said you say the call in number twice in a row. Okay, I will. 575-526-5825. If you would like to call in, I will say that one more time. 575-526-5825. And if it is not about the city council, you've got like 3 or 4 minutes. So we are going to be wrapping this up shortly. But
yeah. Well, there is some good news on the First Amendment front. First of all, Jimmy Kimmel being brought back after a huge boycott of Disney and so ABC and Disney have been backed off. Of course, he's still not on every station in the country.
No, he is.
Oh, is he now?
Yes.
Oh, I
yes.
missed that piece
yes.
of news.
Yes.
So he has now been restored.
Disney flexed its muscle
and said,
Sinclair,
"Yeah, you will step in line."
Back down.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Because it was billions, evidently, that Disney was facing in potential losses, not just in.
That's right.
You know, anybody who booked a trip to Disneyland or Disney World. This is really. It's the power of consumers, actually.
But I know I keep coming back to the same point. But once again, this was Brendan Carr, the FCC guy, going on a podcast and acting like Don Corleone.
Yeah.
We could do this the easy way or the hard way.
Or the hard way.
And so now for the next 3 days, all of Trump's supporters have to go out and try to defend that.
Yes. Well, and he was so transparent. And it happened the day after that Disney withdrew.
Of course.
I mean, it was so obvious.
It was so obvious.
Now, the other thing that's kind of good is, starting last March, the federal government agents arrested and sought deportation of international students when they were peacefully protesting for pro-Palestinian rights.
Right.
And they were never accused of breaking any law, and yet they were picked up, held in ICE detention, some of them for weeks, isolated from family.
For exercising free speech.
For exercising free speech. They've now been released, and the district judge, William Young of Boston, a Reagan appointee, issued a scathing decision yesterday against the Departments of Homeland Security and State for, quote, truly scandalous and unconstitutional suppression of free speech. Now, the Trump administration, to defend itself once again, doesn't argue on the merits or factual or legal grounds,
right,
but by giving reporters a long critique of Young's judicial record. And they, of course, plan to appeal.
Right.
So they always try and divert it with, well, look how bad the other guy is.
Yeah, well, because they can't argue.
Because
the
they
facts.
Can't argue in favor.
The old thing about you can pound the table, you know, I mean, that's what they can do is pound the table.
That's what they can do, yep. So that's about it for me. I do want to go back to our point that elections matter. State, local, and midterm national elections matter more than our many listeners may realize. For instance, the turnout when I used to teach American politics for these kind of elections was usually below 30%, sometimes 25%. And that means that 12% of the voters are the ones determining who goes into local offices. It's an astonishingly low turnout. Please pay attention to local politics and show up.
And we should remind people, because it is only happens during municipal elections, that we have ranked choice voting.
Yes.
And so that is different. And if this is your first municipal election, don't be intimidated by that.
Uh-huh.
It's if you only want to vote for one candidate, you can. You're not required to rank them all. But if you want your vote to count completely, I mean, if you want your voice to be heard as loudly as it could possibly be, I guess would be the best way to put it. It does make a difference if you take the time. I know a lot of people just pick their person, and if there are three or four other people in the race, that's all they care about. And
mm-hmm.
this is only going to matter in the city council district, one race where they have four candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But it will matter in that race. And so if you're not familiar with it, don't be intimidated by it.
Good point. Yeah, yes.
And we will have a lot more on the election coming up. We were just getting started. And like I said, this is my favorite time of the year is football and elections all going on at once. What could be better?